folks, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Is It Over Yet Wrestling podcast with myself, Dan Cooper, and this guy, Sam Whaley. How you doing, man?
I'm absolutely spectacular, thank you very much. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I'm currently getting used to a very long kind of commute from work after moving. Got a lot of podcasts on the go, including a lot of our friends from the Visionaries Network. So it's given me a lot more time to listen to those guys, which is rad. And yeah, pretty good. How's your week been?
Finally got my family home. They've been away for a whole week and now I've got them back. And everything sweet. Seems to be okay again. I've played a lot of NES while I've been away, so that was also pretty sweet.
That's old school, man. That's very cool. Okay, well, let's get down to talking some wrestling in World of Trios. World of Trios. All right, folks, and welcome to World of Trios, brought to you by Win Column Sports Network. The first thing we're going to talk about is our top three angles from this week.
Top three angles.
I think one of the bigger angles this week is the one going on between Braun Strowman and The Shield. So on this Raw, we get Braun coming out with a bit of a confrontation with Roman Reigns. It's pretty amicable. They're showing a lot of respect to each other. But that doesn't hold up for the whole evening, does it, dude?
It does not.
And a bit later on, we get a tag team match. It's Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. Can only lead to bad things, really, considering their past. Facing off against Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. So the match is going pretty standard, normal tag team affair, really. Until a tag at the end of the match. Roman tags in Braun, but Braun stands on the outside. A bit of a hesitation moment going on there, which leads to an eventual beatdown on Roman Reigns by Dolph Ziggler and by Drew, I always want to say Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre. Eventually, Braun Strowman joins in, and we get a bit of a kind of trio going on between Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew. So, obviously, these three are uniting to take on the threat of The Shield. What did you think of this, dude?
It's all very confusing, isn't it? Just going back to Drew Galloway, he should be Drew Galloway because that's the character he's playing at the minute. He isn't Drew McIntyre anymore, in my opinion.
That's true.
But as for the storyline with Braun and The Shield, it's very hard to read what's actually going on here. I mean, is there a Braun Strowman heel turn? Are The Shield the heels? There's been a lot of things that I've seen popping up on Facebook and Twitter. And you know what? I've not read them, and I've purposely not read them because a lot of people have got a lot of different opinions. My opinion on this is that the turning Braun heel, I know for a fact some people don't agree with that because I've seen the titles of some of these blogs. I think, yes, he's turning heel because they want Roman to be the mega babyface, and with the help of his Shield buddies, they might get there with that one.
It's an interesting scenario.
Yeah. I've never seen Braun as like sort of as cowardly as he's sort of being. He's not being cowardly, but he is at the same time. Rather than just Braun smash, it's I'm going to take a step back. I also didn't like the cash in. That was also really weird.
I know exactly what you mean. I mean, in this situation, it's hard to not feel a little bit annoyed at the fact that as fans, we've been waiting for this Braun Strowman moment where he is elevated to this huge babyface kind of figure within the WWE. Looks like WWE are still trying to push Roman Reigns in that direction. Even though he's not really a babyface, he's still got the makings of a heel, in my opinion, in his attitude, in the way he addresses people. But it's a strange one. And the way I see it is Braun kind of needed another two people to kind of make up the numbers, really. Obviously, he shouldn't need it because he's a monster, but I feel like he thinks, if I'm going to be able to cash this in, I need someone to watch my back so when these other dudes, that being Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, come down, I'm going to have somebody, regardless of the fact that I'm a monster.
It was kind of like he's acting a little bit more intelligently than monstrously.
Yeah, which, I mean, adds an extra layer to it. Whether that's what fans are looking for, I don't know.
I don't want to see an intelligent Braun.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see him like whipping out the specs and stuff like Sami Zayn. But yeah, man, I'm not quite sold on the Braun being a heel yet because I feel like they're trying to, I say this way too much, but trying to play shades of grey with everybody here.
Yeah.
Apart from Dolph and Drew, I feel like they've already been established as kind of heels, but Braun, I feel like he might be using them. I don't know if that's fact, and I'm not sure if that's the way it's going to go, but I'd only hope it would, because I want Braun to be this next big babyface. Well, at least a Stone Cold type character anyway.
Yeah.
As with the Shield, that's another odd one, because this is another kind of reunion of the Shield. It's a more successful one than last time. But how are you feeling about this current incarnation of the Shield as you've seen it so far?
I'm worried about Dean Ambrose.
Are you? Because I think we all got a bit excited a couple of weeks ago when he came back.
The part with Jinder Mahal, it seems like we're going back into the silliness of Ambrose again. I know he kept the straight face and he was angry. I'm going to smash your teeth in, blah, blah, blah. Why didn't he just smash his teeth in there? Why did he have to come up with some sort of, wacky comeback? And
I know what you mean. It does feel like they're kind of, they're harking back to how he was before he went away. It does seem like he came back with a bit of renewed fire and stuff like that. But I don't know. I feel like WWE, and I don't want to be speculating here, see him as the third guy in the Shield, you know? You got Seth Rollins, who is the guy that puts on the great matches. You got Roman Reigns, who's this big face of the team. And you got Dean Ambrose, who's kind of the entertainment, dare I say?
Yeah, isn't it funny that when the Shield first came to the main roster, Ambrose was the main guy, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of were saying that at the time as well.
Yeah, I think it was because Roman Reigns was sort of like the enforcer, the silent enforcer, really.
Yeah.
And you had Seth, who was just like I used to always say he was a Jeff Hardy wannabe. I've changed my mind on that one now, but
yeah,
like the high flyer, and then you had Ambrose, who was the main guy.
I agree, and It's a strange turnaround, because I think at first they realised he had the microphone skills coming from the indies, cutting a lot of those intense promos that you can kind of catch on YouTube of when he was wrestling under different names and whatnot.
John Moxley.
Yeah, I think they've done a big turnaround on that, because Seth started out a bit whiny with his promos, but he's just developed into a real kind of a hero type. People just love to cheer him. He gets a great response, a lot of charisma. And Roman Reigns, we all know he's come along leaps and bounds since suffering succotash, really.
It's funny how you mentioned Seth with his whiny promos.
Yeah.
Some people would refer to him as sounding like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Dude, I can't help but agree with that, because back in the day, he must have got like kind of elocution lessons or something, because his voice was very grating back in the day. And this is nothing against Seth Rollins, it's just I think he was still learning how to cut
like
a promo.
Cross between the Wicked Witch of the West and like Ray Romano.
Ray Romano, that's a good one, man. I mean, I always thought he sounded a bit like Owen Hart, you know, like when Owen Hart used to cut those sniveling promos, like actually, proper nasal. And but Owen Hart's were like intentional to make you hate him, but I don't know. Yeah, this angle's an interesting one. I'm looking forward to seeing it progress. I think we're getting a six-man tag at the Super Showdown in Australia, Braun and his two buddies against Roman and his two buddies. And we're getting the Hell in a Cell match, of course, between Roman and Braun. You excited for that one?
No, because Roman's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like it could end up flat again. They seem to sort of advertise these things that could potentially be great.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that this is Roman versus Brock again, because it's not. But it could be.
Well, I mean, the one factor in it is that if you look back on the matches these two have had, regardless of who wins, really, they've always put on good matches together. Well,
I'm just extremely worried that this could push Braun all the way back down again.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess if that is the worry, then me too, man. Me too.
You've got this, haven't you? And then you're gonna have inevitably you're gonna have the Roman Brock rematch. That's got to happen at some point.
Yep.
By which time Braun is just gone. But I did read something rather interesting only about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
About SummerSlam. And they're saying that they could have potentially a crossover with NXT. And somebody mentioned the Undisputed Era versus The Shield.
Oh, wow.
Which would be awesome.
That would be something else, man. I've never even put them in the same kind of category, really, because obviously they're so isolated on NXT, the Undisputed Era, but that would be an amazing kind of six-man type thing, and I think they put on great matches. And
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that'd be exciting. Anyway, let's move on to the next part of our trios. I'm pretty stoked to talk about the whole Becky Lynch Charlotte thing that's going on at the moment. So on SmackDown, we got a SmackDown Women's title match between Charlotte and Carmella. Charlotte picks up the win in a pretty cool match. I think Carmella's really picking up a game. Like I've said, Charlotte wins by submission. But it doesn't last long celebration-wise because Becky comes down and attacks Charlotte and she calls her a bitch, which was pretty intense for SmackDown. Yeah, I quite enjoyed this. I'm enjoying the progression of this angle. I know that you had some reservations about how it was going. How did you feel about this one, dude?
Do we finally have our Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Becky Lynch?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that might be the case. I mean, she's not letting this one lie, is she?
No, she is the anti-hero. Is she actually the heel or is she the anti-hero? That's what you've got to think to yourself, because although she is feuding with someone who is playing the face, I don't know, it just seems so cool, too cool to be heel.
Okay, well, I can totally see where you're coming from. However, last week, I think you weren't so happy about this storyline. Has the SmackDown kind of situation here, has that changed your mind a little bit? Has it made you feel like they could be going in a direction where this could be the right thing to do in terms of Becky being a heel or anti-hero, as you say?
Yeah, I'm resigned to the fact that it's happening now, so of course I've got to get on board with this.
Okay.
And I like seeing Becky come in and beating the tears out of Charlotte.
Yeah, and Charlotte does seem like she's getting very upset about this whole thing, doesn't she? She's upset after every single thing that happens. It's seeming like this is the way that the whole Bayley Sasha Banks thing could have played out if they'd have kind of followed up on any of the angles
die. SmackDown are picking up where Raw have messed up.
Yeah, certainly, and I think if anyone deserves their kind of, you know, they're due, it's Becky Lynch. She's worked super hard.
And Becky Lynch is over with me more than ever now. I mean, I mentioned, maybe 5 or 6 shows ago that Becky Lynch could have been on my potential fired list because I was that sort of, is she even still part of the roster?
Yeah.
Now, it just takes one little thing, doesn't it? And they're back. And she's back, and she's great.
It's nice to see that they've realised her potential because she's got this kind of innate charisma about her that I don't think anyone else has really got, because she's got that... whether or not they're playing up to a stereotype of kind of like the whole Irish kind of like, you know, fiery red-haired thing or whatever, she's got this intensity about her, and she seems like, you know, she seems like that third person, even fourth person of the kind of NXT girls that came up. Mm-hmm. That's Charlotte, Sasha, and Bayley. She always seemed like that one that was kind of the lowest on the rung, and I'm hoping that kind of plays into the story as well.
If you actually put those four together now, who would you actually personally rate the highest? Like as in current, like actually current this week here and now, who would you rate the highest out of those four?
Okay, so not to be too controversial, but I still think at the moment it's Charlotte because of the prestige and the kind of the amount of titles she's had. She's been in that spotlight a bit more than everyone else. Then I'd say Becky because of the way things are going at the moment. Bayley and Sasha, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they just get thrown into things and then things get written off. So it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to have faith in their situation, whereas obviously this feud has kind of reignited everyone's interest in Becky Lynch. So
yeah. I think the Evolution pay-per-view that's coming up could make or break any of these four women.
I'm excited about that pay-per-view, man. I gotta say, I'm excited about how it's gonna play out. They've given us the first kind of teasers with the whole Trish Stratus versus Alexa Bliss, which is a great match. I mean, who'd have thought that would ever happen? The possibilities are really endless if we're going to include NXT women, if we're going to include maybe ladies from the Mae Young Classic. And you're right, it could totally reignite or just kill off any of those four guys' careers.
We've got to get Bayley and Sasha back on track, haven't we?
I think so, and I think
if they're not going to feud with each other, please just break them up and set them off again.
It's a bizarre situation, isn't it, man? And
yeah.
I wish I knew what was going to go on with those guys, but it doesn't seem like WWE has any plans. So, yeah.
Gone off on a tangent there, haven't we, I think?
I think so. So, you all right to move on to the next one, dude?
Certainly.
Okay, so I want to talk about this whole Aleister Black inquiry business that's going on NXT. So that's Aleister Black obviously got laid out in the parking lot by a mystery assailant a few weeks ago. There was video footage shown of basically the entire NXT roster just floating around outside doing whatever. And yeah, it's inconclusive as to who might have done this. And this week, William Regal decided to kind of inquire about the whole situation, to set up an investigation. How have you felt this has gone so far?
It's old school, isn't it? The old whodunit thing. I don't know how I feel about this, really. It's a strange way to write him off TV for a while. As we know, he is legit injured. It does draw my interest, because I do want to know who it is. At first, I thought it was inevitable that it was going to be Ciampa, but I think we're sort of pulling away from that now, and it's going to be a surprise in the end. Could it potentially be a brand new member to the roster?
That would be interesting. I mean, you've got new members kind of just debuting at the moment. You've got Keith Lee, who's had a couple of matches, big independent guy who's making a lot of kind of impressions upon people, but he's not really doing much. Could be him. We had William Regal coming out and addressing Johnny Gargano this week. Could be him, because Johnny Gargano didn't exactly say it wasn't him. I feel like the storyline is going to be something of major interest, because William Regal this week said, I want to get this sorted out before Aleister Black comes back and burns his place to the ground. Now, that excited me. I was thinking, I can't wait for him to come back.
Is he actually going to raise from the grave again?
Well, that'd be pretty cool, man. I like the whole burn this place to the ground. I just thought, is it Seth Rollins? I don't think so. But
I like the whole sort of like mystique around Aleister Black, and it'd be nice for him to get that back. I feel like he's lost that a little bit with the whole Ciampa and Gargano thing being involved.
I do too.
It'd be nice for him to just get that mystique back, and this could be a way to do that.
I mean, not to kind of get too deep into it, but this whole inquiry and an attack thing seems like it was just because he got injured, and obviously they needed a kind of a way out of this triple threat scenario. So they've set up this mystery, which is a lot kind of like the old "Where's the Undertaker gone?" back in the 90s, you know. Yeah. And they had like Leslie Nielsen from the Naked Gun investigating, which was really cheesy. Wouldn't work nowadays.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking about the Fashion Police doing the investigation.
Now that would be cool. It might take away a bit of the intensity of it being about Aleister Black, but that would be awesome. I would very much like that. I'm just looking forward to seeing how it progresses, because NXT seem to be able to tell good stories. It seems to be their kind of forte, as opposed to WWE, where things often get lost. So I'm looking forward to... hopefully they've got, you know, they've got the kind of ending to this, rather than just being, you know, Hornswoggle. So I have no idea.
Top three matches.
All right, folks, and we're back to talk about our top three matches of this week. The first one I'd like to discuss is the Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens match from Raw, which was surprisingly good. I mean, I say surprisingly, you know, look at the two guys, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens. You know, Kevin Owens hasn't really been allowed to kind of show how good he is recently, I don't feel. He obviously answered Seth's open challenge. And we got a really, really good match, a match that played to both of these guys' skills, really. A lot of fast-paced action, a lot of kind of technical stuff, and, you know, a lot of good character work from both of these guys. Did you enjoy this one, dude?
Very, very, very much so. I'm so glad. Well, I was so glad to see Kevin Owens back doing what he does best. The match was absolutely excellent. It's just a shame about the ending with Owens quitting.
Well, I think I was gonna bring this up, because I feel like they're going down a good road here. It's reminiscent of a lot of kind of the whole Shawn Michaels losing his smile thing. There's been a few angles before where people have quit, and I don't think Kevin Owens is gonna quit. I've heard a lot of speculation on the internet about him being at the All In pay-per-view. Which I don't think is going to be, unless WWE are thinking of a bit of a cross promotion.
Well, do you know what, right? I can completely and utterly see Vince looking at All In and seeing the hype all around it and thinking, I want in on that as well.
Well, why not? I mean, the WWE already massively successful. If they can get eyes elsewhere, on their product. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to assume that most people that are watching All In will be watching WWE anyway. But
there's nothing that says that All In has to be completely independent, is there? It could be just like the monster of all pay-per-views.
How funny would that be if it was like secretly funded by Vince? Like, he's like the kind of mobster and he's like slipping him the money. And then, I don't know, man. It could be like...
It could like do a gigantic like outdoor event, like festival type, with just every big name wrestler from every promotion.
So you're talking about this as a future thing, as opposed to just...
You know that it's going to be next year as well. You know it is.
Well, we are going to talk about All In later in the show, but let's stick to this one. I think Kevin Owens going over there, obviously it's been discussed. I don't know what this whole quitting thing is about. I feel like there's been a lot of speculation regarding him being a Paul Heyman guy, coming back as a Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah, I like that.
It is a good idea, but it does fit the template because, you know, Paul Heyman does seem to get with guys that already have great mic skills and just act as the icing on the cake, really.
Yeah.
But I don't know where this goes from here for Kevin Owens, but I do feel like that moment in the ring, because obviously he said before the match, you know, he's leaving with the belt, and he said it with a lot of intensity. He was in his home country, and then obviously he sat in the ring for quite a long while afterwards on a chair and then quit. It was quite an intense moment, really.
Mm. I'm not saying I didn't like the moment. I did like the moment. I liked the fact that it was just literally, I quit.
Yeah.
Throws the mic down and walks out.
See, I'd heard about it before I saw it, and I thought it was going to be more of a like a Kevin Owens ranting and raving type thing, but he just, I quit. And that was literally
It's a shame because I was looking forward to a potential feud between him and Rollins, especially after the match.
It might happen. And
there were moments when I thought that Owens was going to win this.
I don't think this is kind of like any the last we've seen of Kevin Owens. I believe he's a WWE guy through and through from now on. Yeah. So I don't know.
He's
where
so
it
good, isn't it? This reminded me of what we've been missing for the last few months.
We say Samoa Joe's the best promo in the company, but he's up there with Kevin Owens, really, isn't he?
Oh yeah,
Kevin Owens.
They're very similar, aren't they?
In the way that when you watch them, you don't feel like they're cutting a promo, do you? You feel like they're just them. You're like, Samoa Joe is like that in real life. Kevin Owens is like that in real life. That's what you assume. It's just like when you watch a Brock Lesnar match and you think, I'm not going to go near Brock Lesnar because...
They are, though. I mean, we discussed Ciampa, like, blurring the lines. I think Kevin Owens does the same thing.
Yeah,
I really do. If you see his interactions on Twitter and et cetera, he's just Kevin Owens all the time.
Yeah, he really is. And I feel like it was an odd end to this scenario, to this match and what happened afterwards. I wasn't expecting it, and sometimes that's what the WWE do best, the things that you aren't expecting. So looking forward to seeing what happens there. The next one I want to talk about is a match that I never thought I'd see, but we did discuss potentially happening, and that was Daniel Bryan versus Andrade Cien Almas on SmackDown. So this is like the best of one generation going up against one of the best of this current generation, as far as I'm concerned. It was a great thing, and obviously Daniel Bryan's got Brie Bella by his side, so that kind of counteracts the whole Selena Vega thing. It was another cool match between two guys who certainly know how to put on a great match. And I really enjoyed it. What did you think about it, dude?
Fantastic. Again, I think I'm so glad that they're using Andrade correctly. I knew this wasn't going to lead anywhere other than just sort of like a mini feud, perhaps. I don't know.
So, yeah, you were kind of predicting what was going to happen here in the end.
Yeah.
I think we all were. I mean, with the way things have been going between D-Bry and The Miz, recently, you kind of saw it come in.
I love the part at the end where The Miz is just like, go on, do it to him, and then you get to see the Hammerlock DDT, and then obviously the skull-crushing finale. But back to the match, Andrade is just awesome. And it's strange to think that his first few months in NXT, I would look at him and I would just think, what is so special about this guy? I don't understand. I don't know why he's so hyped. Similar to like Nakamura when he first came to the main roster. Andrade, when he first went to NXT, sort of was a little bit lackluster. And I think as soon as he became the NXT champion, he just hasn't looked back since.
Well,
and everything on SmackDown that he's done so far has just been ace. He hasn't put a foot wrong.
I mean, I mirror exactly what you say. When he came in on the NXT scene, obviously he'd been La Sombra on the Indies. I think that's how you pronounce it. Masked kind of luchador style wrestler. Mm. He came in wearing these crazy clothes, all white, very, very confusing because he was a face and there was no real edge to him or anything. You wondered what he was. You thought that name's too long for a start. What does that mean? But I can't even tell you. By the end of that NXT run, you were just thinking, oh, this guy's got to go to SmackDown. This guy's got to go and hang mm-hmm. with that roster. And yeah, the same thing happened when he got to SmackDown. You were kind of like, what's going on?
He is going to be a champion, isn't he?
I think so. For a start, he kind of looks a bit like Roman Reigns with that whole kind of, I don't know, facial hair thing. You know, I don't know. He reminds me of him a bit. He's got the athletic edge, really, over Roman Reigns.
I think I've said this before. He is just a massively improved version of Alberto Del Rio.
Certainly. There's comparisons you could make to people like Eddie Guerrero as well, with the not to just be comparing to kind of the Latina side, but definitely comparisons to be made there.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where you look at him and you think he's small, but he isn't.
Yeah, I think that's true, because when you're watching NXT, you appreciate the product and the technical side of it so much. You don't realize these guys sometimes are a bit smaller. When they come up, people like the Revival, they haven't done so well because they're a bit smaller. But Andrade, he's got the size.
Small.
Yeah, he's got the size. And he's as big as people like The Miz, you know, for sure. So he can definitely hang. That's definitely...
I also like the new entrance as well, with the where he does the, he comes out in the mask first.
Yes, that's
goes
cool.
From like old to new.
Yeah, it's kind of like discarding his roots and stuff like that. Yeah. This is who I am now. It's pretty cool. As a match, anyway, this was great. As we mentioned, the ending, The Miz came down and attacked, as well as Maryse coming down and attacking Brie Bella. I like the fact that The Miz and Maryse were both wearing these kind of weird baseball t-shirts, matching baseball t-shirts as well. That was kind of weird. But yeah, it was a cool ending. It definitely progresses this whole feud between D-Bry, his missus, The Miz, and his missus, not to make a pun on the show. But yeah, very, very dad joke that. Yeah, it was... I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. I'm looking forward to things moving beyond the mixed tag, because I'm not a massive fan of mixed tags. I don't know why.
Not when it involves non-wrestlers.
Yeah. Okay, so are we...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I do know what you're saying. I mean, Maryse, she's not wrestled for quite a while. Who's to say, you know, there's no one to say she might not come back at some point. Brie Bella, I think she was retired, wasn't she? So it's just,
they are bump takers, and I think that's about as far as the talent stretches.
Yep, yeah, but I mean, this involves D-Bry and The Miz, so I'm all good. It's just another kind of layer to their whole feud. It's something that probably needs to happen to involve the whole family side of things to make it like a personal feud. So I'm all for it. I think
they're going to get the babies to fight in the next one.
Well, they have brought the kids of people in before, haven't they, really? The whole Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, that kind of thing. So, you know, God. I don't think in this era that would happen, but yeah. An excellent match. And the last one I want to talk about is one that you were telling me about for quite a while before I saw it, and it was from Lucha Underground. This was a match between current rivals Pentagon, Dark, and Cage. Tell us a bit about this match, dude.
OMG.
That's what you said in the text.
First of all, just a shout out to my man Vampiro before we start this one. But yeah, whoa. This match was a total throwback to all extreme wrestling you've ever seen. There was chair shots to the head. There was crazy bumps from the ring to the outside, hitting the barricade, jumping into the chairs where the audience was sat. There was a moment where you saw Brian Cage take a broken piece of glass and just drag it across Pentagon's face. He tears the mask off. It was just brutal from start to finish. And that's not even mentioning something that happened close to the end with the chairs.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with you on this one. It was a great match on a show that already had a good match kind of before it in Mil Muertes versus the Mac, which was a killer match. But this just amped everything up. It was a real special moment between these guys, and I won't lie to you, I'd felt like before I watched this match that these two had competed quite a lot. The feud was kind of dragging a bit for me, but yeah, they took it to a different level here. There is something special about these two guys working together, two of the kind of rising stars of the industry that aren't in the WWE at the moment. And I just feel like when it comes to these kind of more hardcore matches, Lucha Underground can really do them well and do them justice, because they get the chance to film them and maybe do a few additional takes to give them that real, you know, to make them really pop.
I think we've mentioned that before, haven't we? That the matches actually go on a hell of a lot longer than what you're seeing when you're watching. Back to Brian Cage, he's incredible, isn't he?
He is.
When I very first saw this guy, I looked at him, and the first thing that pops into your head is Ryback.
Ryback times like a million, though, right?
Yeah, he couldn't be further from Ryback.
Yeah.
He's got the body, but everything else is amazing. What a guy. He's Vince's dream, surely. You've got to think that, haven't you? I don't want guys like him to go to WWE. I don't want Pentagon to go to WWE either.
I think we've been crying over this one for the past 2 weeks, like that little rumor floating around online saying Pentagon and Phoenix to WWE.
Yeah.
Scares the life out of me, because I for one feel like they'd be neutered. There's no room for that kind of thing in WWE. Yeah. And I think that's fine, because WWE is for everybody, and it's for, you know, it's for the world watching. Good for them. But Lucha Underground is like our little corner of the world, a little pocket of the world where we can see this stuff. We can see these kind of matches. Maybe we can see them on the indies, but on TV we can see these kind of matches, and we can just throw back to the good old days of the late 90s where these kind of things were happening on a weekly basis. So
yeah, just got to mention there, guys who don't watch Lucha Underground week by week, please take the time to watch this match, because it is incredible.
Yeah.
It, however, is not PG.
Yeah. Not for the faint of heart at all. Exercise a bit of caution before showing this to the rest of your family, really, because it's a bloody battle between two people who have really built up a rivalry. In fact,
before you watch it, just watch the Haunted House match between Mil Muertes and the Mac, just to warm you up.
Yes, yes. That one definitely will get the kind of grease the wheels a little bit, but this match is something else. So enjoy.
All In Special.
This weekend, September the 1st, the All In pay-per-view is taking place. I think if you watch pro wrestling at all, if you're in tune with anything to do with pro wrestling, you'll know about this pay-per-view. It is the pay-per-view that's been put on by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks. They've managed to sell out a 10,000 seat arena, and it's just been a big deal. It was a challenge thrown down by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer to Cody Rhodes and the Bucks. They took his challenge and they did it. And they've managed to pull together a hell of a card from all over the independent scene, from New Japan, from basically anyone that is not WWE right now. Although, we don't know yet, do we? But how do you feel about this pay-per-view, dude? Does it resonate as a big deal to you in the wrestling landscape?
What's All In?
Have you not connected to the internet for the past 2 years?
In seriousness, I've got to see this. It's exciting. I love the idea of bringing guys from all sorts of different promotions together. Especially, like I mentioned earlier, the Mexican guys who were going to be across there, including my favourite, Pentagon Jr.
Heck yeah.
It's going to be really good. And going forward, like I mentioned earlier on, it'd be really nice to see this as a yearly thing, and even open it up to sort of like what I think would be a great idea would be a festival type thing, where I know you've got the StarCast as well. Is it the day before StarCast?
Yep.
Bring it all together and bring it into sort of like a festival type thing with tents. It'd just be brilliant. And in fact, I should message Cody Rhodes about this.
I think you've kind of come across that idea before anyone else, and I really like it. I would happily jump on a plane if I had the money or the time, and go across the pond and do this kind of festival type thing. Regardless of that, and as much of a good idea as that is, this year, the very first one, I think that they're looking for it to be a really big deal to shake things up a little bit. Obviously, the main match, Nick Aldis, the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion, versus Cody Rhodes. And we've talked about this and the build that's been on the 10 Pounds of Gold series and the Being the Elite series, all that you can watch on YouTube. It's been fantastic to say that this has not been built on any weekly, really episodic TV shows, but on a 10 to 15 minute show online. It's been great. What do you think?
I'm not massively up on like Ring of Honor and New Japan yet. Yeah. Has this literally been the only match that's had any sort of build?
I think what's happened here is they've managed to combine a lot of things, because you've got matches on the card like current Ring of Honor World Champion Jay Lethal, and he's facing off against the winner of a Battle Royal that happens on that same night. So whether there's a storyline involving that on Ring of Honor, I don't know. I don't watch Ring of Honor too regular, but I do feel like you might be right. I feel like this is the one with the build, because you've got other matches on there like Kenny Omega versus Pentagon Jr.
Yeah, I think sometimes like that one, the two names, that's what builds the excitement. Like
marquee matches, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you originally looked at Nick Aldis versus Cody Rhodes, you would think, meh.
I wouldn't care. No, it wouldn't bother me.
This build was, you know, they needed this build, but it has been spectacular.
It's a strange one, this, because it's kind of like a giant house show with a phenomenal main event that means more than most things that are happening in wrestling right now. So they've really mixed it up here. You've got some crazy stuff going on. You've got the Jay Lethal match, the Kenny Omega Pentagon match. You've got Rey Mysterio making a kind of a little appearance. They're going up against the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi. And you've even got big New Japan names like Okada. It's a phenomenal show, but you're right, not really much build to it, apart from the fact that the anticipation of how this show will go down in history when it comes to the wrestling business, really.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and certainly to see some of the names I've never seen before. And I'm going to hold my hands up right now and say that I've never seen the Young Bucks.
Wrestle.
I've seen the faces and I don't like them.
Well, that's not hard to feel that way, I think, because they come across as quite arrogant and stuff like that. I've caught a few episodes of their show, Being the Elite, which they film as kind of like a side-by-side thing with their Ring of Honor and New Japan appearances. They're quite cool guys. They've got a good sense of humor. I think that they take pride in what they do. And they have a lot of kind of fan base. Maybe it feels a bit of an ego, but if you're a wrestler, man, you can have a little bit of an ego, right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Are they like the Hardy Boys, but with the head screwed on?
I feel like they're like the Hardy Boys mixed with the Motor City Machine Guns. That's what you're getting with the Young Bucks, really. A lot of people call them out.
I know the Machine Guns, and I'm a big fan of those.
Me too. I really, really miss the Machine Guns. I feel like the Young Bucks get a bit of stick for kind of no selling. You've heard that one before. They don't sell much, and their matches tend to be a bit of a spot fest sometimes. It's not always the case.
It's a different style of wrestling, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can watch for storylines, or you can be entertained by stunning spots and maneuvers.
Yep, that's true.
Or like us, you can just like all kind of wrestling. You don't have to start sitting there and slagging different things off because it's not like this or because it's not like that. It's all wrestling. And it's similar to in football, where you've got English football and German football. The differences are astronomical. but it's both football and it's both entertaining.
This is true, and I feel like we're stumbling upon a greater point here, which I feel like I need to address. I mean, we've come across the criticisms in the past for maybe just covering WWE or just covering one type of thing. I feel like in terms of wrestling, you know, it's like maybe wrestling fans don't have that many people in their immediate life to talk to about wrestling. So when they get into these little fraternities online and whatnot, they feel like they can just air their grievances and say whatever they want, that kind of thing.
That's
so
right.
There is a bit of a... both a tight-knit community and an elitism in the wrestling community, yeah. Which...
I think sometimes that's what can put me off wanting to try things like New Japan and the Young Bucks.
Completely agree.
Because when I'm sort of frowned upon for liking Kevin Owens in WWE rather than Kevin Steen, it annoys me and it angers me and it makes me feel like certain people who watch New Japan are elitist, yeah, like you said.
I feel like we all need to get together in one big room and just all admit we're massive dorks. Because, I mean, whether you like New Japan or whether you like WWE or whether you're just a casual viewer of WWE or whether you're the most kind of, you know, huge fan of Ring of Honor or whatever, we're all massive dorks for liking this.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun. You know, we have so much fun watching this. What is the elitism about? I don't get it.
There was a really good point of this that happened this week on my personal Twitter.
Okay.
I got a like and a retweet from Vampiro. Okay.
Oh.
So I'm a mega like Vampiro mark and fan of ever since WCW. So to get something like this is pretty cool for me. Now, to make that even better, I got it twice in one night, both from Vampiro. And then I got a hell of a lot of abuse as well.
What? You only sent me these tweets from Vampiro, tell me.
Yeah, I got abuse saying that I was a mark, and then in the same conversation, Vampiro got abused too. Now, like earlier on, I gave a shout out to my man, Vampiro, who then enters the conversation and backs me up and says he will retweet and like anybody who is a nice person and he will block anybody who is not.
That's what it's about.
Later in the conversation, the guy that was being said asshole mentioned that he'd been blocked by Vampiro. And I thought, now who is the idiot here?
Yes.
Who is the dirty, smelly Mark, which is what I was called.
I like that. I like this whole Mark Smark thing because...
Explain something to me now. What is a Mark?
I think it's...
A fan, is it not?
Yeah, that's true.
Super fan.
Yeah, you could say it about anything ever. Not just wrestling, anything.
If I'm a Vampiro Mark, that would make me a fan of Vampiro, wouldn't it?
It would.
So why is that a bad thing?
It's not, man.
I don't understand.
You know, I don't know. We could take this in many directions. You know, I like Metallica, I like Slayer. Am I a Metallica Slayer Mark? Is that a bad thing? I'm not sure. I don't really care. Because
I'm a wrestling mark, and it's as simple as that.
I will just like you, and not to go off on a tangent here, but just like you, I will sometimes say maybe I'm not that interested in something or whatever. You threw NWA Wrestling from Hollywood my way one time. I said I'm not really into that. I watched it, took the time to watch it, really really enjoyed it. Just be open minded. Just enjoy it. It's all fun. It's all people working really hard to, you know, to do things for our benefit. So don't get elitist about it. Just enjoy it.
Yeah. And if I want to show that Vampiro was liked and retweeted my tweet, then I will.
Yes. And more power to you, my friend. Vampiro rocks. Speaking of Vampiro, can we just quickly discuss the...
Triple Mania.
So we said we were going to talk about this one. We might as well talk about this one for a couple of minutes. Triple Mania was the... AAA's equivalent of WrestleMania. Big show featuring all their top talent. We got Vampiro and Matt Stryker calling this. Obviously, they're from Lucha Underground, so it goes hand in hand. But it was a comedy fest for the whole way through, really, wasn't it, dude?
Oh, my God. It was terrible, but entertaining nonetheless.
I mean, I think initially when I watched it, it put me in a bit of a bad mood, but yeah. Having a bit of time...
another thing that really annoyed me about this whole pay-per-view was okay. The amount of times that wrestlers were supposed to kick out and didn't, and the referee just stopped counting. It happens so many times.
It's a different style of wrestling down there. It's not one I'm very acclimatized to. I won't lie to you. I don't watch a lot of AAA. I did catch a little bit of a video of this, and it featured a lot of the whole Vampiro Matt Stryker, a lot of the things that went wrong at the Triple Mania pay-per-view. There was a lot of them. There was a lot of missed entrance music. There was a lot of entrance music not being played.
Oh, man. The one where Vampiro is supposed to confront Conan.
Yeah,
and the music just doesn't play. And what makes this really hilarious is Vampiro must ask for the music 10 times.
Yeah.
And he's getting more and more and more annoyed about this. When the music finally plays and he goes into the ring, Matt Stryker says, "You ask and you shall receive." I just thought that was the funniest thing ever.
It was great. And the only thing I really want to point out here to anyone who's not got time for Triple Mania, which you shouldn't watch the whole thing. It wasn't that great, but... there's a video called Everything That Was Wrong About Triple Mania 26, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Go and watch that. See what was a very entertaining spectacle. Featuring...
Of course, if you are a fan of La Parca, then you must watch this pay-per-view.
Yeah, and that's not me slagging off Triple Mania. Obviously, I don't know enough about AAA, so I'm not really educated on it. This video didn't really shine a great light on it, so apologies if I didn't catch the right stuff. But yeah,
Did you see the Botchamania tweet from Matthew of Botchamania?
I didn't. What was that?
Where Vampiro just takes a huge fart and you can hear it right through the microphone.
No, I did not. Brilliant. But I do love Botchamania and I will be checking it out for sure.
Hi, it's me, Mr. McMahon. And welcome to...
All right, folks, and welcome to a section of the show that we haven't done for a little while. It's called You're Fired, where me and Sam, we may be fed up of some superstars this week in wrestling, and we're deciding who we'd hypothetically like to fire. However, I'm feeling pretty positive about wrestling at the moment. You've got a couple of people that you want to fire, so I'm going to give my You're Fired spot to you, Sam. Who are you firing this week?
Right, well, I felt like I had to bring back this segment, especially for something that's really, really, really grinding my gears over the last couple of weeks.
Peter Griffin, nice one.
And it's two people.
Okay.
Two females.
Two females, okay. I'm interested. Who?
Two sisters.
Oh, okay. You could have done this in one shot, but I see where you're going with this. Talk to me. Why?
I'm going to fire the Bella Twins.
Okay.
Because they are so outdated and they do not belong in the modern WWE. And I can see them being part of the Evolution pay-per-view and I can see them going over and it annoying me.
It's always annoyed me because I always felt like even when they were in the WWE in the last couple of years in featured spots that they weren't relevant anymore because there were women, you know, maybe on the independents, maybe in NXT, maybe coming up to the main roster that had not only great charisma but also great skills in the ring technically that kind of, you know, outshone them and they were still going over. And you're right, I can see that happening. I can see a spotlight being shone on them again, and that would irritate me. I'm not sure...
You can totally see something like Nikki Bella versus Asuka and Nikki Bella going over.
Please don't say stuff like that.
I would probably cry.
I think I would. I mean, we haven't seen Asuka for a while, have we?
Maybe she might be having a sort of reset here.
That sucks because she doesn't need a reset. You know what? You know what I mean? I don't want to get into this about Asuka. It will just make me cry. But yeah, I don't feel like she needed a reset. What are they going to do? Bring her back as a Wyatt family member? I don't know. Dude, you're so welcome to fire those guys. Get out of here.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Over like Rover. Oh yeah. Dig it.
All right, folks, and welcome to our most over segment. Each week, Sam and I give you two wrestlers that we thought were the most over that week. Last week, we put up a couple of wrestlers on our Twitter site. Who did we put up for the most over segment last week, Sam?
Last week, we put up Dean Ambrose versus Ricochet.
Okie doke. I'm really curious about this one, man. Who won that?
Right, so this one was pretty close. Oh. We had, on Twitter, we had 70 votes. And we had 43% for Ricochet and 57% for Dean Ambrose.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. Maybe that's due to his current kind of like coming back and new attitude and stuff like that. And who do you have this week for your most over, dude?
This week, I'm not sure if I've already picked this guy once before, but I've got Andrade Cien Almas.
Hey, and why is that?
For all the reasons I mentioned earlier on in the show, I just feel like his transition to SmackDown has been spectacular. Within the next few years, this guy is going to be a champion without a doubt.
Strange, isn't it, the way that we say that people like Velveteen Dream in NXT are the future, but I don't recall ever saying that about Andrade, even when he was kind of on top in NXT. But all of a sudden, when you're shining that main roster spotlight on him, you can see it. You can see
Look at the two champions in Bobby Roode and Andrade Cien Almas, who has come out on top there.
Yes, yes, that's an excellent point. So, yeah, Andrade, definitely a future prospect. My most over this week is Mr. Kevin Owens. And the reason I picked is because I just felt like that spot where him losing to Seth Rollins and him being so fed up that he had to sit in the ring for like 5 minutes, you know, taking all these boos, cheers, whatever it was from the Canadian fans, and then just quietly quit. It was just a real intense moment that I felt like, even in having him maybe go away for a little while in this angle, they're shining a big spotlight on him. They're making him kind of like, oh, Kevin Owens is left, you know? Mm. So I think you might just
pit me to the post on this one this week.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good choice. Very good choice.
I think he's an interesting one. Whether or not we see a lot of him, you know, whether or not he's all in, I don't have a clue, but Kevin Owens is mine this week. So, awesome.
Excellent.
All right, folks, this has been another awesome episode of the Is It Over Yet Wrestling podcast. Don't forget to check us out on all of our social media sites. So that's twitter.com/IIOY podcast, facebook.com/IsItOverYetPod, and instagram.com/IsItOverYetPod. Don't forget as well, we're on Spotify and iTunes. Just search Is It Over Yet Wrestling podcast. Before we go this week, I just want to throw something out there, because on my long commutes, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but there was one podcast that stood out to me today, and it was the Not Sam podcast with Sam Roberts, who you may have seen on the WWE Network. He has Samoa Joe on this week, and I just listened to it as a casual listener, but this interview with Samoa Joe will blow you away. The man is so real. The man tells so many truths about the wrestling business, and he really lays it on the line. It's kind of opened up to a Q&A between fans that are there, and it's just great. It makes you respect him so much. He doesn't even break character, but you still have a lot of respect for him. So go out your way to check out this podcast, Not Sam podcast with Samoa Joe. It's a great one. Also, check out Win Column Sports Networks, who we're paired up with at the moment. Those guys rock. And from myself and Sam, we'll see you next week. Take care.
And I'll be your new daddy.